Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang, this is Frank Graham, bringing on another Command Performance. 30 minutes of the kind of stuff you asked for in those letters to old Command. Care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. I hope you guys and gals have something round with you, because we're going to have a ball. And here to start the ball rolling is that vivacious singing type gal from radio and the movies, Shirley Ross.
Everybody. Maestro, let's do a number for our friend TFC Wayne McClellan and for all the boys in Valley Forge General Hospital.
Well, Shirley, and I've heard about your fine ability on the piano, too. Suppose you go over to the old Steinway Grand to play and sing Kumana. Your voice is great. Tell me, did you ever sing an opera?
Well, Frank, once I sang in a horse opera.
No kidding? Yeah, I suppose the horse opera was a big success.
No, horses don't spend much money on operas.
I passed, Shirley. Shirley, what's first on Old Command tonight?
Well, first, Frankie, we have a couple of musical visitors.
Shirley, what's the story on them?
Well, Maestro Red England is talented assistant Karen Tedder ranked high on the mail order list. But they're always so busy with records and radios and movies that we've had a hard time tracking them. But we finally caught them, and gang, here they are now. Karen Tedder and Professor Red Engel.
Hi, guys and gals.
Hi, Red. What masterpiece are you ready to give out with tonight?
Well, our first Capitol recording. Little Tune's been very, very kind to us, Shirley, and... In fact, the writers of this turn, Herb Nathaniel Brown and Arthur Freed, have often mentioned the fact that they wish we'd been a little more kind to the tune. They're a very wonderful thing of temptation, and here is our version of it.
Oh, good. That's my favorite, right?
Robin on the bow, and here we go. Mm-hmm.
darling, why you look so fast tonight? They say around your eyeballs, which is red, it's a white.
Well, it was just the way you came when I was alone. Shucks, I should have known that you was impatient. You smile, leer me on. My heart is come gone, cause you was impatient. And I'd be thrilling if you're willing. I love you, but it never can be then pretty for me, for you was the Lord to be kissed. I couldn't dream this, cause you was impatient.
Adam, as the apple tempted Eve, as a mother who tempts on the cedar, darling.
That's how he tempted me.
As fornicator tempts the drunkard, as sorghum tempts the bee, as a willow tree tempts the caterpillar, darling.
That's how you tempted me. Oh, you came when I was alone. Shucks, I should have known that you was impatient. Oh, you smile, leer me on. My heart is come gone, cause you was impatient. That'll be thrilling if you're willing. But even if there can be, then pretty for me, for you was the Lord to be kissed. I couldn't resist, cause you can pay.
Well, gang, it's time now for our old friend Jim Bossert to drop in. Jim's done all kinds. I mean, Jim Bossert. Jim's done all kinds of acting for a long time now, and I do mean all kinds. You loved him as the filthy rich Hubert up back on the radio. And last year, he got his own fine radio program. Now, here he is on your own show once more, the talented Jim Bossert.
Great act to follow. Well, thank you. Thank you. Good evening, all. And Shirley, you're really looking wonderful. You know, I love that tight gown. In a way, that gown is like a barbed wire fence.
Like a barbed wire fence?
Yeah, it protects the property without obstructing the view. Oh, Shirley, you know, I wish I were rich. I'd buy you a diamond tiara. It would go so well with your boom TA.
I see you have an admiration for the fair sex.
Yes, yes, I admire manly fellows.
No, Jim,
yeah?
Fair sex means women.
Well, don't be silly. When have women ever been known to be fair? It really is true, Shirley. I've always had a high regard for females. In fact, when other people were growing boysenberries, you know what I grew?
What?
Girls and berries. Surrounded, of course, by cowslips.
Well, enough of this. Now tell me, Jim, is it true that your acting career started in Broadway plays?
Yeah, that's right, Shirley. I started by doing Shakespeare's great play, King Lear.
Oh, did you play King Lear?
No, I was his brother, Chandelier. But no kidding, Shirley, I really did appear at once in four great plays. I was in Rain 1 week, Stormy Weather the next, and Snowbound the third week.
Where were you the fourth week?
In bed with pneumonia. Oh, Mother, don't bother going to the movies. The corn is popping tonight. Then, Shirley, I did a gangster movie. It filmed right in New York City. I had to drive through the city with a knife in one hand and a gun in the other.
A knife and a gun? What for?
I had to cut across one street and shoot up the other. Then I had to hold up a crowd of people in a drugstore.
Oh, gosh, how thrilling.
Yeah, picture all those people cowering before my gun. Then a woman yelled out, "Stop this! Stop this! I'm going to have a baby!"
Gee, what did you do?
I let her have it. Shirley, you know, I really get the most fun out of radio.
But then you edited radio about the time Dr. IQ did, didn't you?
Well, listen, Shirley, when Dr. IQ was just thinking about broadcasting from the Paramount Theater, I already had a lady in the balcony.
One of the funniest things you brought to radio was your wonderful character, Hubert Updike, the richest man in the world.
Oh, you're a
duck. Oh, that's right, Shirley. You're certainly right. And Jim, yeah, if you'll climb into your mink dickie and your chinchilla shorts with the emerald studs, we shall now present the gang with an evening in the life of Hubert Updike III. As we look in on filthy rich Hubert Updike III, he and his girlfriend are in one of Hubert's gigantic new cars on the way to Syrup.
I'm in love with you, money. Nothing else will do, money.
Oh, Miss Ross, it's a wonderful evening, and I'm feeling fit as a fiddle. Stradivarius, of course.
Oh, Hubert, look, there's a hitchhiker. He wants a ride.
Yeah, he wants it.
Hubert, what happened?
Well, I never stop for hitchhikers, Miss Ross. I just throw them an automobile. That's joke, Miss Ross.
Hubert, where's your super terrific Cadillac?
Oh, the Cadillac. I had to shoot it, Shirley. I found out it spent the night in the same garage with a Ford.
Oh, Miss.
No, I've had so much bad luck with this car today.
Bad luck?
Yeah, well, first I had trouble with the windshield wiper.
You did?
Ross, he fell off the radiator 3 times. And then I wanted to turn the car around, so I pointed the front end into Mexico, and the back end ran over 3 policemen in Canada.
Oh, how awful. Were the policemen mounted?
How's that?
Were they mounted?
Were they what?
Were they mounted?
Yes, and they looked just simply grand over my fireplace.
That's so, Hubert. Tell your chauffeurs to stop the car.
Oh, yes, my 2 chauffeurs. I'll tell them. All right, God. Hello, Rand? Tell McNally to stop the car. I'm going to get rid of those fellows. I don't like their map.
Hubert, are you sure we can afford to go into Cyril's?
Oh, surely. Today I got my income tax refund for 1947.
Really? How much did you get?
Well, they didn't have enough money to pay me back.
Well, then what did the government give you?
Maine and Vermont. Now, if they'll give me New Hampshire, I'll have room for a pool out in the back.
Well, let's go inside, Hubert.
No, surely, no. While we're still alone in the car, let me just daintily tweak the lobe of your ear.
Oh, Hubert, you're silly, but you're sweet and adorable.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Shirley, come here, and I'll give you a tweak on the cheek and a little smooch on the pooch.
Oh, Hubert, you're acting like a baby. Do you hear? What am I going to do with you?
Why don't you hold me over your shoulder and burp me?
Hubert, we'll have none of this until you marry me.
No, but I can't marry you, surely. I really can't. I'm still working on my trousseau.
Oh. And then, Hubert, we'll have 6 little Updikes. Little ones who look just like you and me.
Yeah, we'll have 6 little boobies, that's what we'll have. Heavens, she hasn't got the typewriter, and she's already made herself 6 carbon copies.
Well, Hubert, let's go inside again.
All right, and you'll be so thrilled, Shirley, as we're dancing. I'll hold you in my manly arms, I'll press you to my rugged chest, and I'll murmur sweet nothings with my ruby red lips.
Wait, Hubert! Hubert, aren't you coming in?
No, I sound so adorable. I think I'll go home and dance with myself.
Ah, wonderful, Jim. And now here's our music department, Red Engel, back again with Karen Fetter.
Well, hiya, Red. You know, the last time I saw you, you were trying to get on a Wilshire bus, and you're... trousers got caught in the door.
Yeah, that day my pants beat me to Beverly Hills by 10 minutes.
And now here's Red's own sparkling classic treatment of a little ditty they're featuring in their current appearance at the Casbah Club. It's called, of all things, Pearly Maud and Joe LeBlanc.
Unditra, unditra. Ah, kadooly doo.
Pearly Mall, the mall.
That's what I'm waiting and I'm hankering to hear.
Well, give me time, I'll sing tender words of love to keep a beating up to me your ear.
Say, who will I plume to my Tom?
Shucks, I don't know. Pearly Mall.
What's more, if you whisper them words to me, man, I'll adore ya. That's what I'll do.
Pearly Mall.
We?
Jabuzam.
Who, me?
Concrete mixer.
Okay, I'm Jim the Eighth Way. Griffin back there. Lobster Louie. Say, chain of man.
Cobbly Bull, Pearly Maul, and Pearly Maul. Jolie Blanc has to say a glass of mashed potatoes. Jackson,
what? No toast?
And Hubba Hubba. Holy Ball, Feathery, Tumper, Two Days, and Over, Rude, Feathery, Nuts and Raisins.
Tropical Fruit.
A cup of coffee.
No sugar.
And Pearly Maul. A Pearly Maul.
Your boss, Bill Blue.
A soldy poppy. And watch your language. My darling.
A 2 jars or more and go and tie your shoelace.
Juggles him. Shut the door. Have you ready to go to a place? Well, good morning, Pearly Mold.
So it's Pearly Mold. The more you're waiting, the more you're hankering to hear. A berries and blue. Then tender words of love. I'll beat and slap bang in your ear. I'm crying for.
Meet me at the gas bar.
What bar?
Tires on it, child, tires.
There's nothing like a tender, soothing ballad. Thanks a lot. And now, back to Bacchus.
Well, yes, ma'am.
Jim, I hear you do some great dramatic acting.
Yeah, Jim, just like Ronald Cole.
Well, that's true, Frankie, but where people give him an Oscar for acting, they give me a Mickey.
We wouldn't do that, Jim, so how about some dramatic?
Well, it just so happens that I happen to have with me my own stirring version of that Academy Award winner, A Double Life. You remember? And tonight I'd like to offer you my version of A Double Life, which we are calling... A Double Malted.
Our story, A Double Malted, is the story of the breakdown of a handsome drugstore clerk, Spumoni Bacchus. He finds himself slowly going mad, making double malted. As our scene opens, we find Spumoni making a double malted and hating every minute of it. And the sound of the mixer is driving him slowly crazy.
Now, come on. Hand over the double malted. Are you a soda, jerk?
I hated that man for his clever joke, but I followed my pride. I gave him his double malted. And that's the way it went all day long. Double malted, double malted. Nobody ever ordered a single malted except once, a bachelor. Then somebody ordered a double malted. I made it, but my heart wasn't in it. That would have been 20 cents extra. Another customer came in. There was my gorgeous neighbor, Mrs. Newton.
I'll have a double malted with an egg in it, please.
Ah, Mrs. Newton, I love my wife, but oh, you kids.
Really? I thought you didn't give a fig for us, Newton.
I love you.
Sir, but you're married. You can't have your cake and somebody else's cookie, too.
I controlled my temper and made up her double malted. But I got even. Before I put the egg in her malted, I fried it. I could be a sly one.
Hey, Buster, that looks good. Make me one of them double molded. Only make mine a tomato double molded.
I knew that he was leading up to something. But I said, sir, how does one make a tomato double malted?
Oh, you just take some milk, a little powder, an egg, and you shove it in the machine.
Milk, powder, egg. What about the tomato?
Okay. Bring me a blonde one and we'll go on a double date. Yeah!
Double date, double malted. His laugh drove me mad. I began to see red, then vanilla, then tutti frutti, then pistachio. I was going off my nut. I yelled, come back here, you fool.
Hey, let go.
Oh, I was mad. I shoved his head into the double malted machine. I waited till his head came to a head. Then I struck him with a milk bottle. It was homogenized homicide. Suddenly I realized I'd committed a murder. I ran out of the drugstore. I ran down the street wildly. Anything to get away from those cursed double malted. I had to hide out. But where? I ran to my girlfriend's house. She'd protect me. She would understand. Let me in, my darling. Let me in.
Well, bless my confounds. It's my sweet, ever-loving honey lamb. You all come in and I'll comfort you. I'm a southern gal.
But I was in no mood for southern comfort. I pressed my face closer to Dixie's. Our lips now were almost touching. I thrilled the sight of her throat like pure milk, her skin like cream, her lips sweet as chocolate. No, no, milk, cream, chocolate, put them all together. No, 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 that was ridiculous. But I kissed her. She was a double malted. No, no, I couldn't stand her. I rushed back into the street. I should have used the stairs. Then I raced along the dark city streets, double malted. I hit at that word, double. I had to escape that word. What was that? What was that? Mother with a baby carriage, inside twins, double, double, double. I bumped into two men wearing kilts and playing bagpipes. Double scotch. Oh, those double doubles. I was going crazy. I fell to the ground. I crawled on my hands and knees. My nose brushed against a chewing gum wrapper.
Double bubble.
How would it never end? No!
Hey! Hey, you, laying on the ground there.
Ah, a policeman. I was trapped. I was at the end of my rope.
I'm giving you a ticket for lying down in the gutter next to that car.
But, officer, what is the charge?
Double parking.
No, no, no!
Oh, thank you, Jim. Now, we wouldn't feel this program was complete unless you and your beautiful wife, Henny, answered some letters from the listeners. Got the letters, Henny?
Oh, yes, Shirley. I have some dillies right here.
Well, you... James, suppose you answer them.
Yeah, well, okay, Henny. What is the first letter?
From Corporal Andy Rapp.
Yeah?
Who'd like to demand a song for little Geraldine Rapp and for Andy Jr.
Well, Henny, I think Shirley's the girl to handle that department. Shirley, will you answer that letter?
I certainly will, Jim.
A young little mother sings a lullaby. Tenderly she clings to her baby when he starts to cry. Her face is like an angel as she looks up to the sky. And she sings this song of hope that will not die. Sleep, my child, though your daddy's far away. Sleep, my child. We'll be back with him someday. He's crying home to find a home that's safe for you and me, where we still may share some happiness and live a life that's free. Sleep, my child. We must try to keep from you all the pain and the sadness we've been through. You will have your chance to grow up strong in some fine land where you belong.
Beautiful, Shirley Gal.
Well, boys and gals, that brings us right up to the finish line. The hall was crowded with talent tonight. A concert by Maestro Red Engel and Karen Tedder. All-around dramatician by Jim Backus. With an assist from his wife, Henny, and June Foray. The announcing of Frank Graham.
And Shirley. Woo-hoo! Rock.
Thanks for asking us in, gang. The best of luck and good night.
This program was arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.